Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, a homeschool father of five. Out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, but at the same time fighting for every piece we can get to retain faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. I mean, man, we are in desperate straits, difficult straits. Colorado being somewhat of a swing state when it comes to the future of this country. America being a bit of a swing nation as well. If you think about the country of America, no nation has quite the Christian heritage and quite the reputation for fighting for freedom and standing for liberty and justice for all. Very few nations have had the level of freedom we have had, and very few nations have attracted people who wanted free enterprise, who wanted to be defended from religious persecution, who wanted some freedom in substantial areas, not necessarily the freedom to do pot and the freedom to engage in homosexual decadent sexual activities in whatever context you can come up with in your creative moments. We are a nation that has defended morality and the family and freedom for many, many years, but these are under attack. And here in Colorado, we seem to be losing. We're losing ground. Back in the early 1980s or early 1990s, we began to see some progress in the area of reduced government, no special rights for homosexuals. And there were certain things that seemed to be gaining some ground. Why? Because Colorado was a little bit on the pro-freedom, pro-libertarian end of things. But Colorado is losing ground big time, and I think that's indicative of what's going on in the nation as a whole. Now, granted, there's been good news in some states like Alabama, Mississippi. I've heard some good things in South Dakota when it comes to the pro-life bill that was passed, I think, and signed by the governor recently. There's been good news in certain states, but these are marginal states. Colorado is not a marginal state. Colorado is a battleground state, and the good guys are losing. It's a bloodbath down at the Capitol. At least that's what our conservative pro-freedom legislators tend to tell us on a fairly regular basis. It's a bloodbath at the Capitol. Unless you like tyranny, unless you vote for tyrants, unless you love big government and you kiss the chains that bind you. Okay, Dave, there's Dave Buhner in studio with me in just a moment. Rick Boyer's coming in here by way of the phone, by the way. But for them, in the meantime, Dave, Day at the Capitol is coming up on Friday this week. And we're not giving up. We're encouraging people to come down to the Capitol. There are options. People have options right now. If you believe in freedom, if you believe in family, you could see the loss and walk away. You could hide your face in the sand and just be in the denial phase for the next 25 years. You can synthesize. If you can't fight them, join them. Or you could run away. Or you could just show up at the Capitol on Friday and said, we're not giving up. It's times like these, Dave, that I think really define the character of men of true faith and courage.
Well, it does define character, because this is the time when it looks like we're losing battles, but we have to be focused on the war. A war is not a single battle. Yeah, we've lost a bunch of little battles and skirmishes at the Capitol lately. That's okay, because God's in control of these things, and we believe in the justice and the righteousness of our cause. And if you don't believe in the justice and righteousness of your cause, don't bother fighting. But we actually believe that with all of our fiber, of all of our being, that this is a just and righteous cause, which is the kingdom of Christ, by the way. And that's always the righteous cause. And in the face of overwhelming odds, those who believe in our cause will fight to the end. But we already know the end, Kevin. That's the point. We already know the end. If we will just stand up and fight, victory is assured. Now, think about George Washington. You know, George Washington's record on the battlefield was abysmal. If he was a quarterback, they would have cut him from most teams because he lost way more battles than he won. But one thing about Washington, he believed in his cause, and he went on to fight another day. He would engage the enemy, but he wouldn't lose all of his troops. And that's what we're asking the people to do. Engage the enemy. Go to the Capitol. Engage them a little bit. And then get your kids back in the homeschool. Don't lose them to the public schools.
Dave, it's hard to believe the Neros, the Hitlers, the Stalins, the FDRs will last forever. The pro-homosexual, big government freaks. It's hard to believe. I mean, granted, they're making progress now. They get the votes. They get the votes from the welfareites and those that prefer the trajectory towards a total immoral anti-family approach to the future. I mean, there are those who will vote for them, and they will receive a certain amount of power for the time being. But it seems like looking back over 6,000 years of world history, the Ahabs, the Neros, the Hitlers, the Stalins, the FDRs, the people that confiscate people's properties, raise taxes, and aggrandize government and redistribute wealth, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me these guys are not going to last forever. Their economic systems are always unstable. Their social systems cannot survive. their civilizations do break down. In the meantime, we need to be out there rallying the troops, encouraging those that are saying, hey, we're going to be around when we're going to be still standing when all these other systems are dying. We have the hope to reestablish civilizations on biblical principle, and we're going to fight for freedom from here till eternity, or however long it's going to take to get to eternity. We are going to continue this battle between good and evil, and it's been raging for a very long time. It's times like these, Dave, that really call out the faithful. And I think God is testing us in periods like this. God is testing us. Will we show up at day at the Capitol, which, by the way, is the largest pro-family, pro-Christian, pro-homeschool rally you're going to find anywhere in the state of Colorado in any given year, where 1,500 to 2,000 people stand up at that Capitol and hear amazing prayers to God, appealing for his forgiveness for our statewide sins, for admonitions, exhortations to the state legislators that stand all about us. And there's typically 15 or 20 of the state legislators that show up at this day at the Capitol event. This is a time where we, as the faithful few, the loyal opposition, those that still stand on values, family, faith, and freedom, show up at the Capitol en masse. And this is the largest rally typically that shows up on a regular basis at the Capitol, by the way. Whether it be the liberal groups or the conservative groups, we typically are the largest regular annual rally at the Denver Capitol, and we make a statement. And I think, Dave, when we pray to God, he listens to us when we pray in the public forum, as well as in the private closet.
Right. We know that our words to God are not going to come back to us empty. Look, the battle is not standing out in front of the Capitol steps. That's not where the battle rages. The battle rages inside that Capitol, and the battle rages around the kitchen table, and it battles rages at the pulpits of our congregations. What this is an act of kindness. This is how I view it, Kevin. We've got people who are faithfully facing the opponent in the Capitol, and they're getting beat. But you know what? They need a little encouragement. They need us to say, we love you. We're behind you. Don't stop fighting because we believe in the cause. This is an act of kindness to those legislatures who will stand on a righteous platform and to say to them, don't stop. We're with you. We're praying for you. We're behind you. We're bigger than you think. Please be the point of the spear in the Capitol.
I realize not everybody hearing this radio program from 100 countries around the world is going to be at the Denver Capitol and fighting at the very, very core battle for the future of the state of Colorado and the future of the United States of America at the Denver Capitol on Friday. But I'm inviting anybody who's anywhere near Colorado to be there at Day at the Capitol on Friday of this week. And by the way, for more information, go to our website, check.org, check.org. And by the way, Rick Boyer will be there. And he's got a great little program called Take Back the Land. And we're going to talk about this with Rick Boyer on the phone line in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
And welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Friends, Kevin Swanson with you today. Homeschool dad of five children, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Colorado, which has been a swing state in terms of whether or not a conservative, righteous agenda, a liberty-based agenda is going to win, or the socialist, big government, anti-morality, anti-family agenda. Really, this has been the battleground now for about 20 years since we moved here. And of course, Focus on the Family and other ministries moved here in the early 1980s. But it looks to me like right now things are not looking good. It's a bloodbath down at the Capitol. I've been in a number of conversations with some of the conservative senators and House reps, and it is not fun right now. If you're a conservative, you believe in liberty in America, and you're down at the Colorado Capitol, you're not going to be having a good time. Nevertheless, it's good that people are engaging, and these are the times in which we want to call folks, the faithful, to action, because these are the points at which our faith, our commitment is tested. And so we're going to talk with Rick Boyer now, because Rick Boyer is coming out to Day at the Capitol, our homeschool Day at the Capitol event that happens each and every year. And he is coming out this Friday to speak and to encourage the troops, to lift up the drooping faces and encourage us in the midst of some of the struggles that we're going through here in Colorado. And Rick now joins me as part of his Take Back the Land tour. He will be here in Colorado here on Friday. Rick, welcome back to our show.
Thank you, sir. Good to be with you, Kevin.
Rick, I tell you what, things are rough down here at the Capitol. I don't know how things are in Virginia, but here, man, it's a bloodbath down there. And I think we've lost every single battle, you know, for liberty. If you believe in liberty, if you like righteousness, morality, you know, family, that kind of thing. If you're for some of those old virtues that we used to like a lot, you're going to be pretty disappointed here in the state of Colorado. How are things in Virginia?
Well, not that bad. Okay. We're doing better here at the state legislature level, and the Republican Party is smartening up.
Okay,
especially at the grassroots, the top levels of leadership don't know it yet, but we are seeing a tremendous upsurge of conservative grassroots movement within the party.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, all politics ends up being party politics at some point. So I'm encouraged overall. I'm encouraged across the country, and sorry to hear you're having such a hard time in Colorado this year.
Well, there are difficult periods of time in which people struggle. And the nation itself, you know, re-elected Barack Obama to president and pretty much put the kibosh on reverting our socialist medicine thing back to more of a freedom, free enterprise model. So, you know, I think we're all struggling, but it's times like these that, you know, make us into men, I guess, right?
Absolutely. You know, America was built by men who were men, and it's because they didn't spend their whole lives having everything easy.
Yeah, exactly. I get the sense that freedom has been an uphill battle for the last, you know, 4,000 years.
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan said it so well when he said freedom is never more than one generation from extinction.
Yeah.
We didn't pass it on to our children in their bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. You know, the enemies of freedom never rest, and that's why the proponents of freedom can't ever rest either.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why is it a full court press constantly?
Sin nature.
Yeah.
You know, Satan hates freedom. Because he likes the opposite. He likes people in bondage. And if he can't get them in spiritual bondage, he loves to have them in political and social bondage.
Rick, just summarize a little bit what you're doing with Take Back the Land. I know we talked about this maybe a year ago on the same program.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going? Well, what's the goal here? What's the vision?
Well, we've just had our second conference, and our vision is to train up a generation of leaders. What we need in the church today is people who will stand up on their hind legs and understand that Scripture requires us to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is not just in our own lives. That's where you start. Get yourself right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then you serve Him. But that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
Your responsibility is to have an influence on others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the church has fallen down. We've lowered the bar as far as our standards of righteousness. And we have stopped teaching the responsibility of every believer to be a light in the culture around him. So what we want to see is for proactive Christians to rise up. We're talking a lot to young people, but we want to talk to them in the presence of their parents and challenge them not to waste their youth, but to stand up, take responsibility right now, and influence others. That's what Take Back the Land is all about, training up a generation of leaders who will be proactive and influence others to be proactive too.
Rick, you have been in the homeschooling movement since pretty much day one. You're going to be the grandpa of the movement, like it or not. After 35 years, all right, we've probably seen 2 to 3 million homeschool graduates, is my guess, over the last 35 years. How we doing? You know, how we do? Are we making some impact? I mean, think of Teen Pack. I think of Generation Joshua. I think of Take Back the Land. Is there a vision? I mean, I was homeschooled myself, and within a few years, I was student body president of a major West Coast university. I ran for governor of Colorado at 30 years of age. I mean, that was a sample size of one, you know, back in the 1970s and 80s.
That's called proactive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I love it.
And then thanks, you know, to God and thanks to my parents who had that vision way back. But are there going to be another couple million Kevin Swansons? Are we going to see homeschool youth, homeschool graduates taking back the land?
Well, that's my prayer, and I have to say that's what I believe is going to happen.
Yeah.
There, you know, homeschoolers are only, what, 3% of the school-age population, which means we're considerably less than 3% of the entire population.
But that's about enough for taking back the land.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you look what the homosexual activists have done with only like 1% to 2% of the population. They just make so much noise. And they never get discouraged. They never quit. They never give up.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will do the same thing, I mean, you know, we're in a righteous cause.
Yeah.
You know, we have a responsibility to win this battle. But the homeschooling movement is where it's going to come from. If we have revival in America, that's where it's going to come from. But we need to complete the vision, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You and I remember the days in the 1980s we fought for legality.
Yeah.
In the 1990s, we fought for legitimacy. You know, that was the decade when I think we convinced the country that we're for real, that our kids are really getting an education. They're not social wallflowers and so on. So 80s, legality. 90s, legitimacy. And from then on, leadership.
Yeah.
So that's the three L's, I think, in terms of legality, legitimacy, leadership.
I like that.
And that's how we complete the vision.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be teaching parents, look, you are not just training up good, godly young people. You are training up good, godly young people who are called by God to lead revival in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And every leader's name is Legion, because he doesn't just speak for himself. He speaks for everybody that will listen to him. So you take one homeschool kid. He makes three friends of public school kids. He says, hey, I want to do something here I think is important. Will you help me? Whether it's getting somebody elected to the state legislature in Colorado, whether it's taking 150 coloring books to children in the hospital to build relationships, you can witness to them and their parents, whatever it might be, if each homeschool graduate will take the responsibility to be a leader and influence other people within his own church and in the community and get them to be proactive for righteous causes, then he multiplies himself.
You know, I think the parable of the talents plays in on this one. I use it often in graduation ceremonies for homeschoolers. Their parents really sacrificed as much as they did. You know, they sacrificed their time, their energy. They paid their taxes, and then they went ahead and homeschooled their own kids. And it took faith for them to do that. You would hope that the homeschool graduates would also say, wow, if I had that level of sacrifice, if I took some steps in faith to do some really faithful things, like some of the things you enumerated there, you know, I could just be, you know, faithful to what my parents gave me. There's a legacy here, isn't there?
Absolutely. But you got to remember that most of us parents didn't have the blessing of an upbringing like you had.
Yeah.
We were public schooled. We're still learning to think outside the box. And I mean, you know me, I'm a guy who prides himself on being different, thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. Still, occasionally I find myself in the box. So our kids should do better than we've done.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, as leaders and speakers, need to constantly be challenging parents. Teach this to your children. Mm-hmm. Complete your vision. You know, you started homeschooling probably because of concern about the impact of the culture on your kids. That's legitimate. Get beyond that and understand it's much more about the impact of your kids on the culture. Train up leaders, and that's what Take Back the Land's all about.
All right, Rick Boyer, you're coming out to Day at the Capitol on Friday. What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about Joshua chapter 1.
Okay.
That's the theme chapter of Take Back the Land. Mm-hmm. There are so many parallels. You know, when God had had Joshua 1 written, he wasn't talking to the United States of America 6,000 years later. He was talking to the people of Israel. But there are parallels that are so clear. You know, the idea that a great and wonderful land, the land of Canaan, had been given by God to his chosen people, and then they had abandoned it when they were only a nation of 75 people, gone down to Egypt, and then God set them free from bondage in Egypt 400 years later, and back they went to reclaim the land that had been given to them back in, I believe it was Genesis 15. But they had battles to fight on the way there, and they had battles to fight once they got back there. And in their absence, the enemy had raised up strongholds, places called Jericho and Ai and Kiriath Arba and other semi-pronounceable things. And each of those strongholds had to be reduced before they could go back in because the enemy didn't welcome them back. Mm-hmm. So America was given by God to Christians. This continent was inhabited by 500,000 to 1,000,000 aboriginal people who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. The pilgrims jumped right in and began converting the Indians. And that was what most of them came here to do. But America, as it became a nation, was the result of the Great Awakening, and it was a special thing. Mm-hmm. But then Christians abandoned America.
Yeah.
Christians stopped showing real leadership in the family, the church, the home, in human government, in the courts, in the media, in education. We abandoned the territory. Pagans took it over, and pagan thought now reigns almost supreme. So what we've got to do is take back those fountainheads of culture if we want to take America back to her godly founding. And that's I believe that's our job in this day.
Rick, why did we abandon the call?
That is a good question. Uh-huh. Maybe because we had things too good.
Yeah.
Maybe because the principles of God active in our government and our other social institutions made life good. You know, other than our own stupid civil war, we never had a serious war on American soil. The War of 1812 didn't affect much of the continent. We had peace for the most part. We had prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the church went to sleep. You know, I remember in the 50s, you know, I was a little kid, but there was a gigantic nationwide sigh of relief that got heaved after World War II was over, mm-hmm. and Korea, and people didn't want to think about hard things. We had prosperity. People were working. People were happy. They were relieved that the great trials of the two wars were over. And I think the church went to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, one decade of relaxation in 1961 and 62, you get three Supreme Court decisions that boot the Bible and prayer right out of public school.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Christianity was reduced to Jesus just saves me, and I'm so happy. I'm so glad I don't have to serve him. I'm so glad I don't have to obey him. I'm so glad I don't have to fight for him. Yeah. I'm just going to sit here on the beach and sip pina coladas or non-alcoholic pina coladas and you know, just be happy that I'm saved from hell forever. But people forgot that, you know, you're supposed to serve Jesus. You're supposed to get out there. You're supposed to fight the good fight.
Yeah, that's right. We've been relaxing when we should have been warfaring.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now we see the fruits of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're fighting to come from behind battle here, and it's because of that irresponsibility. I blame the preachers. You know, I'm in a sense a preacher myself, but I blame the preachers. You know, as the preachers go, the church goes. As the church goes, society goes. Yeah. Well, we lower the bar,
and I blame the seminaries. It's the Harvard seminaries, the Yale seminaries, the Princeton seminaries, and even places like Westminster seminaries that seem to over time corrupt themselves. And I think there's seminaries to blame too, but you're right. It is the preachers.
Absolutely.
And it's the breakdown of the church.
You know, the Bible, the New Testament church doesn't say a lot about seminaries.
Yeah. Yeah. The Seminary of Jesus involved discipleship, where you find a good walking stick and some sandals and you hang out together for 3 years, you know, sitting around eating and talking and discipling and holding people accountable and that kind of thing. And that's not really the Greek model of seminary.
No, no, that's the old Hebrew model of simple discipleship.
You
look at Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it talks about Jesus' model training preachers. It says he chose 12 that they should be with him, and he should send them out to preach.
Beautiful.
And when we stopped depending on preachers being with their men and transmitting their vision, their convictions onto them, and we made it an academic thing, we were just following the example of secular society. And as a result, the average preacher is a young man who grew up in a Christian home and a Christian church, maybe a Christian school, and then had to go away to learn the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And get ruined.
And then he
ends up get ruined.
He takes a church 500 miles from home. He raises his kids away from the influence of their grandparents, which usually is a bad thing. Sometimes it's necessary because the grandparents aren't godly examples. But, yeah, we've gotten away from a biblical pattern. And like you say, you know, both the church, the preachers, the seminaries, it's a shame. You depart from the biblical pattern. You depart from biblical results.
And that's one reason why we were motivated to start the Shepherd Center, you know, our mentorship, our discipleship that we've been doing here in my basement for the last 5 years. We had to call it off this morning, though, because of the snowstorm. We had a blizzard out here in Colorado.
Wow.
But these guys usually show up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for the last 5 years. You know, I'm doing a lot of disciples, a lot of shepherding. A lot of these guys want to go into full-time ministry, and, you know, we're just working with them. And, you know, I think the goal here is to take back the land by a total reformation, family, church, state. I mean, you name it. We've got to reform it. Isn't that pretty much what we're saying?
You know, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples." And we often preach, "Go therefore and make disciples." But we need to remember when Jesus said, "All power is given to me," that's not the usual Greek word, dunamis, for power, meaning strength. That's the word exousia, meaning power as in the sense of authority. What Jesus is saying there is, I am boss. And if Jesus is Lord, then he's Lord of everything, which is exactly what you're saying. You know, he's Lord in the family. He's Lord in the church. If he's Lord in the church house, he's Lord in the White House. The president, president resident may not recognize that. But yeah, Jesus is Lord, and we are his representatives, and we need to be preaching his lordship. And that's the only thing that's going to save America. That's the only thing that's going to save freedoms. We understand fear of God. You know, that's the key. That is what restrains men from evil, including people in authority.
Beautiful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's just a taste of what you're going to get this Friday down at the Capitol in Denver. And if you're anywhere near Colorado, come on down. It's a free event. Rick Boyer will be there, and he'll be speaking several times. We've got, I think everything gets kicked off about 9 o'clock in the morning, if I'm not mistaken. You've got to go to check.org for more information. That's chec.org. For more information, again, a free event, although we do have our Young Statesman program that you may be interested in for your kids. But for more information, check it out at check.org, chec.org, and come on down to Day at the Capitol, one of the most important events in Colorado in any given year. In fact, I think it's the largest rally of that's regularly scheduled in Colorado at the Capitol in any given year. And certainly this is the year that folks who want to stand up for righteousness. And we have some wonderful prayers and some exhortations to the legislators that come out at the rally at noontime. And it's a beautiful event. It's an opportunity for us to just really get out there and say, Jesus Christ reigns. He's on the throne, and all power has been given to him. And we want to acknowledge that, even if some of the members of the Senate and the House will not mention it themselves, we want to recognize the reign of Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time for some instruction as well. And Rick Boyer will be there. For more information, check.org, chec.org on the web. Hey, Rick, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We appreciate you. We'll look forward to Friday.
Man, you're going to get a double dose of Rick Boyer because my son's coming too. He'll be speaking also.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Yeah, and, he's the brains of the family.
Yeah, exactly. Breakout sessions, I forgot to mention, for our kids at the Pillar of Fire Church, just about a half block south of the Capitol in the morning. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. Rick Boyer and his son will be there to share some amazing vision with you at our day at the Capitol here in Colorado. Again, check.org, chec.org. for more info. Thanks, Rick. We'll see you Friday.
Thanks, buddy. Good to hear talk to you.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. If you would like to interact with the program, email me, please, at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.